Thank you all for being here. I know we're competing with lunch. Well, I did make it out of Louisville before the snow hit, so that was good. I know it's a little bit chillier here in the New Orleans than we'd like, but it's my first time at APHA, and thank you all for having me here. So that's the title of the talk. Just a basic outline of kind of what we'll cover briefly. We'll look at kind of the background, the methods, results, some conclusions, and enhancements. Okay. So I think we probably all know a lot of the statistics about diabetes and what a huge public health issue it is here in the United States. Increasing issues around obesity, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, on and on and on. There have been studies that retinal exams, you know, are associated with decrease in the rate of visual loss for diabetics, which is a good thing. Probably a bad thing, that last statistic, is that retinal exam rates are estimated to be somewhere between 50 to 65%. So certainly an opportunity for more exams and better compliance there. So that's what we're kind of up to here with this work. I do work for Humana in Louisville, Kentucky. Humana is a company focused on health and well-being. It is a health insurance company and currently insures about 3 million Medicare Advantage members under the Part C program. Okay, and probably about 500,000 of those would be considered diabetics. So lots of folks to work with. One typo in my presentation, actually this was done in 2012. We conducted a messaging campaign encouraging our Medicare members diagnosed with diabetes to have that diabetic retinal exam. And we tested kind of a geospatial tailor level to see if there's an extra benefit incorporating that into the initiative and the outreach. A quick kind of screenshot of what the messaging piece looked like. This was from that geospatial tailored messaging. So saying a lot of the right things about protecting your eyes and so forth, but in the bottom left-hand corner, you know, the opportunity to add some specific information for that member of nearby in-network vision providers. Really kind of, you know, trying to hone in on some behavioral economic techniques, make this as easy as possible for the member. And if we do that, you know, will we see a higher uptake of these screening exams and so forth? And please, if there's any questions along the way, you know, we don't have to wait till the end, so throw your hands up. We're not a huge group here. Regarding methods, study population, these were Medicare Advantage enrollees with Humana. They met the HEDIS definition. That's the healthcare effectiveness data and information set for diabetes. So they would be in scope for this messaging campaign. These were members that had a gap in care. They were due for a retinal diabetic retinal examination in 2012. They had a comprehensive eye benefit as part of their plan through the iMed Vision Network. We had 20 particular geographies that were in scope for this campaign. I would say 20 counties, but in Louisiana, they're parishes. So these were counties or parishes that were a part of the scope of this messaging campaign. And so for members who had that gap in care, they were diabetic, they lived in one of these counties, and they had to be within 15 miles of one of these in-network vision care providers. Okay, so that kind of pulled you into scope to this initiative. And we found a little over 17,000 members who met that definition. I will say that this was a component of a much larger vision care outreach and so forth, but this is a component that had the geographic component and the tailored messaging there, so we'll focus on that. So background in statistics, worked in clinical trials, you know, if we can randomize, that's what we want to do. So we took our group of 17,000, we're going to randomize them and place them into one of three different outreaches to really get a sense of whether these strategies are effective or not. And I will say that you know, I've been at Humana close to 5 years, and you know, we had some pushback initially when we started to want to be a little more rigorous in understanding what works. You know, some people saying, "Gosh, we want everybody to get this message reminder," and I think we kind of pushed back a little bit our own and made the case, well, if we don't know if they're effective or not, we really need to understand that. We want to understand whether these campaigns are effective and to what degree they're effective. And if they're not effective, we want to move on to the next good idea and continue to learn, continue to improve, and so forth. For this initiative, we had 3 groups. So a third of the members were in this. We're going to get this geospatial call to action letter. It's going to list in-network providers in their particular geographic area. The second is more the standard call to action letter. Say all the right things about getting your diabetic retinal eye exam. It'll have a 1-800 number where somebody can call in and get some assistance in finding a vision care provider, but that's, you know, it's a little more effort to do that than just listing those providers. And then our third group was just kind of a standard of care. They were not given a message about the reminder. Visually, kind of what that looks like, we start off with that 17,000. We're going to randomize into 3 groups, the geospatial, the standard letter, and our control group. One other artifact about working with kind of healthcare data and claims data is there is a lag in what medical claims data are processed and so forth. So ideally, we wouldn't send a letter to anybody who already had their screening. But there are going to be some people that are in our campaign. We're going to send them a letter. And then after the fact, we find out, they had their screening, a week before. But there can be up to 2 or 3 months lag for these claims to come in and us be able to detect that. So when you get down to that third level, when we're analyzing these groups, we're going to carve out those people that actually had their screening prior to the launch of the campaign and so forth. So that's what the third level there would represent. You know, some claims like pharmacy claims are processed, almost instantaneously at the point of service. Many of these other medical claims, there can be a couple months lag before those claims will come into the system and are submitted. A little bit about the study time period. This was launched in early May of 2012. We're going to follow these people across that calendar year. We really hope that they'll close that gap in care and get their diabetic retinal eye exam before the end of the calendar year. Okay. Once again, with that claims lag, we do have to wait a good number of months into 2013 before we kind of get that final result. Because you can get into March and maybe even early April and still have claims trickling in with dates of service in December. So a little bit of a handicap. You've got to wait a little bit longer to get the full story. A note on statistical methods. I mean, certainly with the randomization, it makes our life a lot easier. We don't have to use complicated modeling to adjust for things. We don't have to use propensity score matching and so forth. But we're going to look as our major outcome just the percent of individuals within each of those groups who got their retinal examinations prior to the end of the calendar year there. Primary explanatory variable would be the message sent, what letter they got, and so forth. We will take a look at a lot of basic demographics just to convince ourselves that randomization did work and that our 3 groups were balanced and so forth. And the statistics are fairly straightforward chi-square test. What do our results look like? Kind of the basic table 1 will compare our demographics across the 3 groups. Looking at age categories, looking at gender, we do have information about race, and another factor I included here was product, whether they're in an HMO product, a PPO, or fee-for-service. Certainly compliance and uptake to a lot of things does vary across products, so that's another factor. And then there are more that we can look at here also, but these are some of the basic demographics that we're going to look at to convince ourselves that our randomization did work and we have good balance across our 3 groups. what were our results. We did see that the retinal exam rates differed across our three treatment groups there, our three messaging groups, with the highest in that geospatial letter group. Okay, so the geospatial group had significantly higher rates than both the standard letter group and the control group. And there was actually, in this case, we didn't find any difference between that standard letter and not sending a letter at all. So we're getting about 2%, you know, additional uptake or so with this geospatial letter compared to the control group, you know. And for this particular study, you know, we're not talking about a ton of people. We've only got about 5,000. So in some cases, you know, a 2% lift may seem very modest in the additional number of people that, you know, were encouraged to get their diabetic retinal eye exam. But, you know, there are other campaigns we work on with, you know, over 100,000 or multi-hundreds of thousands of people. So on messaging campaigns where you can get a 2% lift, that can be a lot of additional people. You know, campaigns encouraging members to get their flu shot or encouraging breast cancer screening or colorectal cancer screening and things like that. So, conclusions. Well, we really felt that the tailored, you know, call to action letter was very effective. You know, a lot of emphasis these days when it comes to healthcare about trying to make it as easy as possible for the member, know the member, and I think this initiative kind of speaks to that. You know, we know who they are, we know where they live, we know what their coverage is, we can identify in-network providers near their house and make it as easy as possible. Then we'll list those providers there and their contact information. Unlike many other kind of gaps in care where a member may go to their primary care physician, so diabetics probably are going to their PCP to get their LDL checked, their A1C checked, maybe a nephropathy. You know, this vision care is a little bit different because they're not going to maybe one of their standard providers, a PCP or maybe an OBGYN for their mammography. So we really felt it was kind of nice. This was a good candidate to take that burden off of kind of figuring out, well, who's the provider that's in my network and that's nearby, and so forth. Some of the enhancements that we've looked at since then, for this particular campaign, the geography and the distances were fairly straightforward, you know, kind of Euclidean straight line distances. So this is your this is your address within SAS. There's a PROC geo code, and you can calculate these distances. Obviously, as the crow flies, distances doesn't take into account, well, is there a river there? Is there a railroad track? Is that really where you would go to seek services and so forth? So in the last several years, we've been working more and more with the Dartmouth Atlas of Healthcare. I don't know, is anybody here familiar with the Dartmouth Atlas? Okay, a lot of you are. So it's a wonderful resource. I think for over 30 years they've been studying the geographies of healthcare services, specifically with the Medicare population. And they build these geographies, which are basically clusters of zip codes. So the smallest, well, zip code's kind of the smallest geography, but this primary care service area would be a cluster of zip codes in which Medicare members who live in those zip codes, this is the cluster of zip codes that they travel to seek their primary care services and so forth. So if we're going to message a lot of times, maybe in just instead of defining some sort of 10-mile, 15-mile radius, you know, we'll find providers that are in the same primary care service area and so forth. I think that helps kind of even out a little bit kind of rural and urban, because distances can mean very different things. In a rural area, people may be more willing and more used to traveling a longer distance to seek care than they would in the urban. So these geographies are specifically built around how people, how Medicare members seek their services. There are different granularities. You can go the next level up to a hospital service area. So these are larger geographic areas. Once again, still clusters of zip codes. And those would be members who reside in those areas. These are the ones that are seeking services in that hospital area. So they'll be larger geographic areas than the primary care service area. And then you can step out even further and look at hospital referral regions and so forth. And if you ever get a chance and you go on the website, you can just start playing around with some of these geography. It's pretty fascinating. I mean, being from the state of Kentucky, you know, I kind of know the landscape a little bit, and you start to get in hospital referral regions, and the way that they kind of play out in the geography very much lines with the transportation infrastructure. I mean, Louisville's kind of central in Kentucky, east-west, but on the northern part, and Interstate 65 runs through there, so the whole central part of Kentucky, you know, would follow in that hospital referral region going up Interstate 65 to get those hospital referrals. So it's a very fascinating website, and we're trying to leverage it more and more, kind of the nuggets and insights of geography that we can, you know, pull into some of our initiatives to, you know, help improve the outcomes of our initiatives. Some references there, according to some of the stats we pulled in earlier. And that's what I have to present. So I wonder if we have any questions relating to the initiative or campaign. Yes?
Can you speak to the codes that you tracked? You mentioned something about the beneficiaries had a climate plan as well.
Uh-huh.
Were you tracking wellness visits, or were you tracking medical ophthalmological codes?
That's a very good question. When it came to both defining who was in scope, who had diabetes, we're using the HEDIS definition. I don't know, are you familiar with HEDIS? It's an organization just to define probably 80 or 90 or so different quality metrics, and a lot of them all around seeking services around chronic conditions, but also preventive services. So it's very well defined who would be considered a diabetic and which codes they need to be in the denominator there. As far as codes that would trigger whether somebody had an exam, we use the ones, you know, once again defined by HEDIS and so forth. And I want to say there's not a specific code that defines a diabetic retinal eye exam. So it's somewhat inferred by HEDIS by the type of provider that you went to. So the higher level ophthalmological providers, they assume that there's a more rigorous, more thorough exam being done there, and that the diabetic retinal eye exam would be a part of that. So very good question. So we didn't have to come up with that. We went with how it was defined via the HEDIS specs. I will say this is, you know, it's one of many different messaging campaigns, you know, that are done around, you know, influenza shots, getting your flu shots, you know, breast cancer screening and so forth. And, you know, we try to test a lot of different things and different themes in the messaging, different messaging channels and so forth. Yes?
One of the things, you know, in healthcare is that we're all assigned primary care provider. Mm-hmm.
Be actually assigned kind of a specialist for a particular condition?
Yeah. You know, all diabetics are just an eye care provider, and that's one thing that they can't get with the primary care provider.
That's an excellent question. I don't know if they've done it on the vision care, but there are many instances where we attribute members or they tell us who their primary care provider is, and that's important information to kind of leverage. But for certain chronic conditions, maybe a diabetic, maybe you're going to an endocrinologist. So attributing member to some sort of specialist, an endocrinologist, for their condition. Or if you have a heart condition, maybe you're seeing a cardiologist to be able to attribute there and to make those connections there. Whether we're messaging the member and providing that information about the specialist they're seeing, or in some cases messaging the actual physician to go contact the member and so forth. There could be a lot more impact in messaging the provider and the provider reaching out to the member and say, hey, you're due for this. Come on in.
It works both ways because you need to tell the provider this is your list of people you're responsible for in population
yep.
health, right? And then you tell the patient the person.
You're right on track. That's right. Right. And certainly for many, many people, there's a much stronger trusted relationship with their provider. So that a lot of opportunity there. I'm probably out of time. So. Thank you very much.